they probably thought, you know, a lot of the time we think that there's like some secret sauce that we need to do, and you're like, no, it is literally do the basics. It's not complicated stuff, but it's just being able to do it, like you say, repeatedly long enough to actually get to the point that you want to. So
my name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion and purpose. My guest on the show today is Gillian Davis, and she is a woman's transformational coach. Thankfully, lockdown has not changed her life that much as she works online. So Gillian specializes in helping women who are in their mid-40s to early 50s. For these women, it's about giving themselves time and attention after many years of providing their focus to family, careers or business. Our conversation is about weight management and exercise and how it is the start of so much more. But you see, life goes in stages, and I think it's hard to appreciate when we're young, it certainly was for me, that life is a series of stages. I know this now, but I did not understand what that means until recently. And to some extent, I think this is all tied up in the standard plan, the success model. Now, thankfully, for most of us, we are born into this world with a fanfare of love and appreciation. And there is that growing up bit where everyone else is supportive. And then there is the finding your place in the world, getting a partner, and maybe starting a family. Through all these life stages, there is support and guidance from both family and friends. But there are bumps in the road for both men and women where support is somewhat lacking. Now, for women, these significant shifts can arrive very close together. Children leaving home, menopause, or worst cases, divorce. All of these factors cause a re-evaluation of life, a search for meaning. And many people start that journey with health and fitness. My guess is all about feeling better about the self. Because losing a few pounds and having more energy is always a great start. And today's guest is there to help. As you will hear, Gillian is from Ireland, and growing up she had her challenges with identity and self-confidence and food. Physical exercise was always her place of escape. It made her feel better about herself. Now, in our conversation, she talks candidly about her struggles with alcohol and unhealthy relationships. It was the return to fitness that was always the most successful coping mechanism. She started her career in biomedical science and went into laboratory work and eventually moved into clinical diagnosis, microbiology and infectious diseases. Had she stayed in that career, her time would have been now, working to solve the COVID crisis. However, in 2016, after 14 years in the industry, the company she was working for changed their values. It no longer aligned with hers. So she leapt to follow her dreams and passions. Now, she did the big adventures, climbing mountains and stuff, and then she returned home to Ireland with her husband and set up a nutrition and fitness business. Her current mission is inspiring ladies to realise their abilities, increase their self-confidence and feel stronger both mentally and physically in the process. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Gillian Davis. Welcome to Life, Passion and Business. I am delighted today to be with Gillian Davis. Now, she is a women's transformational coach. There's definitely some fitness in there somewhere. Let's explore what that's about. So thank you for taking some time out to be on the podcast with me, Gillian.
Oh, you're very welcome, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
And you have a lovely accent there. So you come from the good country by the sounds of it. Whereabouts are you from?
Yeah, so I am based in Newry, County Down. And yeah, so that's halfway between Dublin and Belfast for a little geography lesson.
Good, because I wouldn't know where it was, but it does sound nice. Thank you. So look, this is Life, Passion and Business, and we are all about the journey that we bring as human beings into what it is that we are about and how we bring that all into our life. And the first question, of course, is passion. What is it that you're passionate about? How do you bring that passion to your life? And have you always had that passion?
Well, have I always had that passion? I guess in some way I probably did. So yeah, you're right. Fitness is a big part of what I do. Fitness, nutrition, helping women to learn how to transform their bodies and in a way that they are confident and have that sustainable transformation as well. So the passion that I have is for helping women to find freedom as well. So typically women will have, like myself, so I have that kind of background, that journey myself from having real body complexes, having real issues and confidence, self-worth, and how I saw myself and how I showed up then in my life and in my world, really. So so I've definitely been through lots of transformations myself.
We need to know what they're about. So what was the story? How did it all begin for you?
So really, like, even if I went back to like me being a teenager, you know, I really had hang-ups around just how I looked. I just around about even having curly hair, you know. So, and I suppose it's quite typical even as a teenage girl, like, you know, how you looked is always a big thing. It still is a big thing at that age. And I used to then, I remember even my first time looking at food, like I stopped eating red meat, and I wonder whether it was just the color red that I didn't like, because I would very easily turn, you know, get very embarrassed and my skin would turn red, you know, when in a like a stress response. And that would make me very self-conscious. And then, so I think things just escalated from there. But so I would, you know, kind of socially, I would probably be very quiet. I'd socially not, you know, see these girls that were like very out there and very outlandish. I was like, I could never be that. And I suppose you kind of fall into that comparison trap then. So
all of that stuff creates, I mean, it comes out. Yeah. Something, I mean, it's that thing about being seen or not being seen and how you're being perceived, you know, other people's opinions and that sort of stuff. And I guess body is very much about that, because that's what people see. They see how you look.
Yeah. And then you base a lot of things on whether you look the right way or not, you know. You kind of define your success in terms of whether a career and whether you look the part for that career, you know. So but you know, fitness has always been like sport, things like that, there has always been a part of my life. I always played sport, like netball was always my team sport whenever I was younger and that. Mm-hmm. So but I never saw it in such a way to kind of help it as a coping mechanism. And that's what it became for me as time went on. Whenever I went through kind of, you know, like a huge relationship change, you know, I got myself into a relationship which ended up being fueled quite a lot by alcohol with my partner at the time. And it was actually a very destructive relationship then. Not physically, it never got to that point, but there were certainly elements of fear in there that could have led to that point. And once I actually then came away from that, I then turned back to my fitness, how I looked and how I felt about myself, and really threw myself into getting fit again and focusing on myself a lot. So I used to definitely as a coping mechanism. Now before that, probably alcohol and food was very much the coping mechanism for when, you know, we come up against very challenging times in our lives. But then
so,
I used
so what career did you take it what career did I mean obviously you're into fitness what career did you start in
so I went down the science route. So I always had I was always very inquisitive about how the body worked. Always wanted to help people. How could I learn to help people and kind of, you know, help people get better, basically, was always a thing for me. So I went down a science route I did biomedical science. I went into laboratory and was involved in clinical diagnostics as well, around about microbiology and infectious diseases. So
that So your time would have been now had you been in the industry.
yeah, definitely, definitely. So I know I do look at now and think, I could have been. I would have been absolutely crazy at the minute if I had have been still doing what I was doing. So,
just for the listeners' perspective, got anyone hearing this in the bar, this is kind of June, early June 2020. So we are in the middle or coming out of COVID-19.
Yeah, we're on the brink of coming out of it now. So, coming out of the lockdown, you know, the viruses don't just go away. That's one thing for certain. So,
they don't.
So, yeah, so I would have been very much involved in, at one point I was in the public health, so I would have been very much involved in the testing for people for, you know, diagnosing that way. But then more later in my career, I went into industry where they were actually then working for companies that were developing the tests for the labs. So so I would have been involved in kind of supporting and helping the labs set up and run those tests. So,
You didn't stay in that industry, the sounds of it. You didn't stay there.
No, I had kind of one of those epiphany moments when I just thought my life was, personal life was taking a different direction. I got married and I think I got to the point, like I look back now and see careers, you know, like any relationship comes a point where you realize that it's not serving the person that you want to become. So there was huge changes in the company that I was at, from the top down, from CEO, from the board level, even right down as well. So it was going through lots of different changes itself. And I just kind of felt like the company that I had started with was starting to change into a more restrictive, more micromanaged type of company, and it was not kind of suiting me and where I wanted to be. So it was a very stressful time, because once you get that resistance and you get that change, it really becomes difficult to be yourself, and it become very stressful for myself. And I just decided to actually make that transition. And
it is interesting because we are in companies, and that what you're touching on there is values, because your values originally with the company were aligned, and as the company changes its policy and changes its view, suddenly your values go out of alignment with that business.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and like, to be honest, when I worked, like it was a very highly, you know, I was paid very well for the job I was doing, but I did give a lot of my time to it, because I was worked remotely. I was on the road a lot, that sort of job. So I was out and about quite a lot. So it very much took over my life doing that job. But I was, like I said, paid handsomely for that. But at the same time, that served me well, because actually through in my 20s and that, and not only did I have a bad relationship with myself and other people, but I also had a poor relationship with money. So, you know, and it all kind of goes hand in hand with how you look at one thing. You kind of look at, you know, you kind of treat things, other things, in the same way. So so I was in actually lots of debt as well at one point. Came out of university, you know, thinking, well, debt's expected, but it kind of set me off on a path of, you know, never really accepting the debt, but actually just adding to it with various other credit cards, trying to live a life that I thought I wanted to live, but actually it wasn't a life that realistically I could afford, if you like. So and that's how, you know, that was all around about validation, all around about self-worth, really, you know, at that time. And so the job that I had, you know, it really helped me clear that all away, to help find that financial freedom for myself. And really helped me then to give me that then opportunity to go and change and go into my fitness and nutrition.
So what did you do? So left the job, because obviously didn't fit with you anymore. What did you do?
So I had my resignation, and to be honest, it was probably an idea that had been in my head for over a year before I actually got to the point where I was like, I have to do this now. Because I was always doing nutrition coaching course over a year before that. So that was an online course that I was doing. Yep. If anyone knows Ben Coomer and BTN Academy, so he's very much, he has a number one health and fitness podcast himself. So I joined that and did that for my own learning initially because it was really piquing my interest. But then they have different stages, which I went through and did that. And I think the more I did that, the more I started to see what else was possible with it. And then I left that and went into my personal, I left my career and decided, right, personal training, I'll go do my personal training course as well. And went and did that. Again, that had been an idea in my head like 10 years previously, but I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that.
Personal training, you know? I mean, there are dozens and dozens of personal trainers, and that's a real kind of like, I'll be a personal trainer. I mean, you know, there are so many of them, and like, you know, how do you make a splash in a world where you're surrounded by people doing the same thing?
Well, I started out, I was already involved with the netball team and that, so I actually started out just kind of helping some of the girls at netball do some extra training at home.
Right.
So I did that. So I did mobile personal training, so went to people's houses to do it.
Yep.
Just had some equipment. I started, I ran like circuit classes in a local centre. I did a boot camp in the local park as well. So I did all these things and just kind of got my name out there. So, and then I also ended up working in a studio who had a guy who had a personal training studio. So, and he was looking for someone. So I went in there as well.
Right.
And just started learning and understanding what made people tick. So, and that was, I actually loved doing that because, you know, I got to a point where there was a lady who was, she signed off work through depression and she had her mental health problems. Though, you know, after working with her for 4 months, she basically told me, she's like, you know, you've basically saved my life.
Wow.
Just by being there. And that was, that really, like, you know, even now saying that, it still makes my skin tingle, you know. So, and to hear that just makes you realize that, you know, I love doing this. I love
when you make a difference.
When you make a difference in someone's life. And having that there and realizing that, you know, I always wanted to make a difference, but I could never be close enough to make that difference until now doing the coaching. It's really
so you're obviously not a you're not a kind of gym rat personal trainer anymore. You what are you? How did you define yourself?
Yeah, so 2 years ago, I relocated back home. So I was in England then for all that, for 20 years previously. So university and, you know, stayed on.
Yeah.
Met my husband and stuff. And we, then when we relocated, and there was a lot kind of around the online world that was really, you know, it's really kicked off over the last maybe probably 5 years, hasn't it? Maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really ramped up now. And I thought about doing that, about, well, maybe that was my opportunity to look into doing the online. So very much the online. And people kind of wonder, well, how can you show people what to do in fitness when it's online? And, you know, they don't see how you could go from personal trainer to online coaching. But I very much, I'm around about the accountability and the support for people, because that's really what it is when it comes down to it. Someone that's there to take away the guesswork, someone that's there to, you know, guide and kind of talk to you about what's going on. Because most of the time, even in the studio, the women just wanted someone to talk to, wanted just to shoot the breeze with, if you like. And that's what it is. Like, okay, yeah, you do the workout and, you know, you talk about it. But a lot of the time it's just, you know, we having that person to just kind of be that impartial voice to just talk it through with, well, what's going on with that person, you know, why are they coming up against certain obstacles all the time, you know, is there something else that we could try to change it? And a lot of the time it's not the information, people have the information, you have, you know, phones, you have laptop, you know, we're surrounded by information, but it's just being able to, one, take the information that you need, but it, just to implement it, to use it and apply
Implementation is always the issue, isn't it? I mean, it is, we all know everything. We all know how to lose weight. We all know how to exercise. Well, we don't probably know the full nuances of it, but we all know most things. But it's a question of how do we you know, make the commitment to do it and show up? Well, and how do we keep showing up? That's the question, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it comes down to. You know, even now I'm just thinking of the ladies that I have in my program, and, you know, they're working through it, and they probably thought, you know, a lot of the time we'll think that there's like some secret sauce that we need to do, and you're like, no, it is literally do the basics. It's not complicated stuff, but it's just being able to do it, like you say, repeatedly long enough to actually get to the point that you want to. So
there's a guy, there was a video I saw, I mean, some Facebook trash and stuff, this stuff comes up, isn't it? You know, but I mean, you know, for you know, the guy was a big guy. I mean, he was like 20 stone or something plus. And he was fit. He was healthy. He was a bodybuilder or something. I don't know what he was, but he was overweight. And he just committed to doing 100 press-ups a day. Just committed to doing it. Just doing 100. I mean, that's hard. That's hard when you're that weight.
Yeah, that's tough.
But, you know, and I think like something like 60 days, the weight just dropped off him. You know, and obviously he was being a bit more committed about what he ate and stuff like that. But you could see the difference. Just doing, I know 100 press-ups is quite a lot.
Yeah.
You just do something, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it is. And everyone, you know, you kind of wait around for motivation to strike you, but you just have to just take action on something. So, you know, like even just say, right, I'm going to at least, you know, walk a minimum. And like, that's what I'm doing even myself now at the minute. And, you know, I'm walking, right, 7:30 every morning, I am out the door for a walk. And that's it, one walk. It's about 50 minutes, I'll walk every single morning, and I've been doing that at the weekends, everything. So I'm out the door, up and out.
How many paces is that you're trying to do? So many sets?
I'm trying to average around about 6,000-7,000 steps a day. So,
it's not huge, but it's enough, isn't it?
But it's the consistency of it, Paul. It's doing that, isn't it? Over time, it's not. I'll do it one day. Oh, I'll do less tomorrow. I'll do more than it. You know, I'm just trying to hit that.
I struggle to do 6,000 steps a day, I must admit. I do struggle to do that. I mean, some days I'll do 10,000-12,000 steps because I run. But my average is a lot lower than that. And it's right. And I probably do need to do a bit more consistent stuff like that. Interesting.
Yeah.
So where is the passion in this for you? Because, I mean, clearly you enjoy it, but what is it about?
So for me, it's just being able to kind of support women through that transition. So the real thing that I look at is women that have gone through lots of different diets and have kind of been through that whole worrying about their weight, you know, using that their weight and the scale weight to define how they feel about themselves. I've been that person, I've been through that. And I wouldn't say I've been a person who has been overweight or had a big transition to go through, but I thought I had.
You have, haven't you?
Yeah, really? Yeah. No matter what people told me, I had to lose weight, and that is a mental game that you have to go through. And, you know, like I said, I've been through the you know, diets, and I've gone through like even Special K diet where you had two bowls of Special K and one proper meal. You know, I went through that, lost tons of weight, and.
But you were starving most of the time.
I was starving. I was eating next to nothing, you know, and I was working out, and I really loved my fitness and really obsessed around that. I was working out so many times a week, playing netball so many times a week. But it wasn't healthy, it wasn't sustainable, and I still never felt good about myself. It just meant that I measured myself in another way. And it wasn't really, and it was... wasn't until a couple of years ago that I actually start to, once I did the nutrition coaching and I used that and applied it to myself and educated myself on actually learning to not fear food, you know, to eat food again and eat a lot of food. I eat more food now than I've ever done, but I love it and I enjoy it. And, you know, I'm at that point now where I don't have any hang-ups around, am I going to be bad about eating this, you know, this piece of cake, or, you know, I'll have what I want, but I don't want to dive, you know, I won't go crazy on it either. Yeah. So yeah. I'm at that, you know, that sense of, you know, I don't care anymore. I've let it go type of thing. And it's helping women go through that. And that's where I want to, you know, that's my real drive, because once you can go through that for yourself and find that sense of freedom for yourself. And it's a big value for me. It's a huge thing. Find that sense, and then it just helps you in other areas. So, you know, I went through that myself, and then how I show up now in my business and you know, in my relationships and everything else, it just, it does ripple into other areas as well. Mm. So I, you know, I hear it a lot when I speak to women, and, you know, been through the diet clubs, the slimming clubs, the whatever, you know, all those sorts of things. And it just really, when you, and you probably have to go through that, you know, you'll go through that journey, and lots of women will have, but you, they have the support there to come out of that, to let that all go, you know, that transition. You just need someone there that has been through it that can go, yeah. It's
cool. And what you're picking up on, really, and what I'm picking up on to me is that, yeah, that losing weight is nothing to do with the diet. It's nothing to do with your head.
Mm.
And that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the stuff that comes up. And I always remember a couple of stories in that one. I remember when I was very young, one of my mother's friends was my mum was probably 15, 16 stone herself, but women were in those years ago. But her friend was, you know, 20, was 20 stone or so, more. And I remember her being on diet pills, because mum told me she was like, oh, she's taking diet pills. And I remember seeing her force a cream cake down while she was eating on diet pills. Oh, I have to force that down, she said. It's like,
yeah,
and it's like nothing, you know, the diet was, it's her head, all her head. You're like, she bought a cream cake as a present for herself, and just like forced herself to eat it, even though she was on diet pills.
Yeah.
The diet pills are supposed to be magic. You could eat what you like. That's the idea.
That's human nature to want.
And then
to
the other one is that another friend, just a few years ago, she was saying to me, as she lost weight, she recognized that the feelings and emotions of that came up, the feelings and emotions that she experienced that forced her to put the weight on in the first place came up as she started to lose it.
Right.
So she was having to deal with the emotion that put her weight on in the first place.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting.
And that's usually what it comes to. Yeah.
And that was really interesting, is that we put the weight on to get rid of the emotion. And when we take the weight off, now it's payback.
Yeah, and that's what it can be for a lot of people, that there is something unresolved there, you know, that certainly, and that's obviously not my, it's not my area at all, you know, that's usually,
well, it is, someone else you are, needs to you're come helping and help. People talk about it, aren't you? That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes they just need to talk about it. They're older and wise enough to deal with the stuff themselves now, but at the time they weren't, that's all.
Yeah, and I just want women to get to a point where, you know, you just accept your body. Yeah, we have different shapes, and I know there's a lot around the body positive movement and things like that. And I think you can be body positive and want to lose weight and want to get yourself into a certain shape. You know, it is as long as the mind, the intention behind it is healthy.
Yeah, I agree with you. All bodies are great, whatever mm-hmm. size and shape they are. However, if your BMI is a bit wrong, you're not serving yourself. But if you're comfortable and happy there, then that's fine.
And you're not limited. Yeah, if your life's not limited by what your body's able and capable of doing, you know, that's what healthy is. You know, are you able to do the things that you want to do in life, basically, with your body?
Moving us on to the next question, it's about success. How do you define success for you? What does success look like?
Wow, what does success look like for me? I think it is, even just now, like, I don't define it monetary success. I think it's defining it in doing the things that scare the crap out of you and still you know those things there's things in your life you think, oh, that I could never do that, you know, you see other people, oh, I could never do that, but deep down you really wish you could. When you've got to that point where you've done those things, I think that's success for me. And I've had those, you know even doing this business, like, oh, God, I could never set up and run my own business, and I'm like, well, actually I am now. So I'm like, that to me is a big success tick in my life, you know, that I've found that courage to go and
I
do
love
it.
The idea of scaring yourself and doing it anyway. It's interesting. Yeah. But, you know, feel the fear, go for it, absolutely.
Well, It is. That's just, you know, that's you know, and you learn that, you know, that's just your brain reacting in a way to kind of keep you safe and protecting you. But you've, the fact that you're able to come up with that idea means that it's something there that you should really explore as well. So, you know, and over the kind of maybe last 5 years, you know, when I really got into, you know, it's very coachy to talk about your whys and vision boards and things. But until I started doing those things, I went, oh, hang on a second. Right? Maybe there's more things I should be doing than I thought I could. And so that's really what success is to me, to really get clear on what you want to do in terms of your life and how you want to live and then making it happen. So, you know, it's not really about hitting a certain monetary target. You know, it used to be about being able to, you know, fit into a certain size of clothes, but that's not how I define my success anymore. So now it will probably be getting back to press ups because I haven't done that for a while. So I love being able to physically be able to do press ups and pull ups and things like that. So those things are popping up in my head a lot. I'm looking to get a press up squat or a pull up rack.
Yeah, I've done pull ups for ages actually. You could, because since the gym's been closed, I've not been able to do pull ups. I'm probably be terrible.
Yeah. I'm the same. It's been a few months actually, so I'm really like going, I'm itching to get back to it. So I'm like, I think I might just have to. So me, it's like, so instead of waiting, and that's another success, instead of waiting for things to kind of open up, I'm like, okay, how can I do this and make it happen for myself now?
Find a tree somewhere and pull up on that. That'd be the answer.
I know, I keep looking at the curtain poles and going,
no, that's definitely not my
Yeah, I'll find a tree somewhere. So,
what do you define as your contribution? What is your contribution to the world?
At the minute, it's, I think, showing people that you can be very vulnerable and talk about things publicly, and certainly on even using social media. And being okay with that, and being okay that you are able to do that. So it's just finding that voice. And like, this is coming from me to, like, you know, 10 years ago, I don't even recognize the person I am today. You know what I mean? And just, it's to be able to do that. So that's the kind of contribution I want to realize and help women to just realize that you can just talk about things. You can talk about women's things, you know, things that, you know, women were always shied away. And like, I had I wouldn't say a strict Catholic upbringing, but I had I went to a grammar school that was run by nuns and that. So being a girl, you know, you were, had to cover up. You couldn't say certain things. You couldn't talk about certain, you know, it was very kind of regimented in that way. It was almost like, you had to be a girl and to be, you know, to be good, a good girl as well. You know, you had to act and speak in a certain way. So, but now I'm like rebelling against all that, you know, I'm like, be who you want to be, you know, and there isn't any right way to do that. Whether it's, you don't have to be defined by a certain religion. You don't have to be defined by, you know, a certain social acceptance norm of because I'm you know, a certain age.
How do you see that? I mean, do you see that as contribution? Is that you're leading, you're demonstrating it? How do you demonstrate that? Have you got an example of how you demonstrate that?
I think even just by, I have that even just through social media, I guess, the main way is that I demonstrate it. So I have kind of shared like quite a warts and all story. And I think I did that last year on social media, demonstrating to, and I even do that in my programs. I talk quite openly about my story. I share that quite a lot with any of the women that come into my world, if you like. So, And I've had that feedback then, you know, from women to say, oh yeah, I really, I really see a lot of myself in your story type of thing. So for me, that's the contribution I can give at the minute.
Don't you think you've told us that story? What is it you mean? What do you mean by you say your story? I mean, you don't have to say it if you don't want to here, but I'm just curious what you mean by your story.
Well, just like what I've referred to with my, like my image issues and complexes and how I behaved, just even how that turned up in the world, how I was like trying to validate myself with having the right relationship, having the right clothes, having the right job, having everything. So,
I thought I'd missed something. Sorry. I thought, it's a new story. Ooh, what have I missed?
So, and how we've kind of defined, you know, how I was and how I am based on my size and how I looked. And, you know, I went through straightening my hair because the curly hair wasn't pretty enough. So, you know, that sort of thing. And even being able to talk about that, you know, lots of women, and even talking about, you know, the alcohol and how the relationship with that and how that, you know, I went through a time of really using that was, you know, I felt confident then, and, you know, and that became actually quite a
I also think there's a culture thing, isn't there? I mean, probably at the time when you were into more alcohol, there was quite an easy culture about it. I mean, certainly when I was growing up, alcohol was very much a thing. Mm. And I think that there's definitely been a shift in people's perception to alcohol. Yeah, I mean, people still drink, but I don't see the laddish culture I used to see around now. I mean, I'm not sure it may still be there. Maybe I'm just too old to notice, but I don't see it as I used to.
No, definitely not. I don't see it in that way either. I think, yeah, definitely think some of the younger, it's kind of more cafe culture, isn't it? So it's like, they've been brought
it
up
is,
that,
it
so.
Is, it is. And I also think price may be an issue in this. I think that price of alcohol in bars and things these days has got to the point where people think twice about it, probably. I don't know. You know, but
yeah.
I don't know. So, let's move on. This is an interesting question. What's the one question that I haven't asked you that I should have done?
Wow. You're going to stump me in this one, Paul.
Well, you don't have to answer this. The reason this question's here, you see, is so that when we put the call down, you go, oh, bum, I didn't say this. I didn't mention this. So it's a chance for you to say what you like. I mean, the other way to look at this question is, what is the one question you'd like people to ask you? Because it feeds into your thing. So what is it what is that one question you want people to ask you?
There's one thing, I'm trying to come up with something about the bucket list. So one thing I have with people when they ask, you know, do you see that question, what would you do in your bucket list? And that has come up because I very much have done things on my bucket list before I probably need to do things on my bucket list, I'm trying to even.
So, what was on your bucket list that you've achieved?
Well, I suppose one was setting up my own business, but the other thing is relocating to Ireland.
Right.
Climbing Mount Kilimanjaro was the other thing.
That's a nice one. Yeah.
Yeah. See the Northern Lights. Did that. And, you know, I suppose that's one thing that I've kind of done is just, you know, not waiting for things, and that's, to me, the success is like I've set up a life that I don't have to work. I've got kind of that flexibility in my life where I don't have to be confined by an office or a 9-to-5 or anything like that, that then, you know, I'll wait until I hit retirement before I can do all these things, when you don't know if you're going to be able to do all those things when you get to.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That was the success thing. That's one of the why I asked the success question, because, you know, the original idea was that you worked hard until you retired, then you had enjoyed your life. Whereas you've taken it the right way around. You've done all the good things first, and now we'll do everything else. I think we're coming to that point. So, who is it that you're looking for? What kind of people do you like to talk to, and how do you help them? Who would you like to, if people want to reach out to you and say, you know, can you help me? Who are they and what would you be looking for?
So the women, I work with women basically because obviously I can give the most attention to women and really understand their situation. So women that I help is those that are really at that point in their lives where they're reevaluating their lives. They've done maybe gone through the marriages, maybe the divorces as well. The kids have grown up, got rid of the husband, now what? Yeah. So they're at that point where they're like going looking for the next thing for themselves, and maybe they kind of look and reevaluate that, you know, they haven't really given themselves that much attention. They haven't given that time and dedication to themselves, and that, and you know, probably women that are saying, yeah, I used to really be into my fitness before I got married or before I had kids, or, you know, all that there, but they'd really like to get, not get back to that, but they want to reestablish that in their lives again. And you know, and ultimately that may be because, you know, they want to maybe transform their bodies. They want to drop some body fat. Yeah. They just want to feel fitter and stronger as well. Yeah. And sexier, more confident, you know, they want to really get that, tap into that vitality into their lives again. So and maybe women around about, you know, the 45, 55 mark is usually what I'm coming up and finding.
How do they find you? Is it, I mean, I'm assuming it's Facebook, and what else?
LinkedIn. Yeah, so the two main platforms, Facebook and LinkedIn, is okay. where you'll find me. So people can just look me up and I'll add you as a friend on Facebook, Gillian Davis. I do have a Facebook group as well on there called the Get Fit and Fabulous Community, and also on LinkedIn, just Gillian Davis as well.
Do you have a website?
Where my two places. No, I don't at the minute, so it's in the pipeline.
Something to happen at some point, but sometimes you don't need these things if you've got enough platforms around.
Those links will
be on the podcast page when the podcast goes live, so we'll make sure those links are there. So we move into the final question, the one question that everyone has to kind of answer for themselves at some stage. So, you know, we're animals, we're born to this world, we live, eat, shit and die and that sort of stuff, you know, but only humans think we're arrogant enough to have a purpose and a meaning to it all. So what's the meaning of life for you?
Ooh, that's a deep one, Paul.
It is deep. We're trying to be deep here. Quality programming.
The meaning of life, I guess, is going through life, adding all those bits of armor on and then taking it all off again.
Well, you're a good Catholic girl, or were. There must be some baggage in there somewhere.
Yeah. So, it's you weren't allowed to do things at a certain time, so but it's being able to actually be who you want to be and have a voice and having that courage to actually just say no, I don't want to do that, and be okay with that. So I think that's the voice that some people need to find, is saying no to things and not having to, you know.
So you would say it's about being yourself, really?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you live by that yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an ongoing thing, because, you know, you do go through times when you kind of resort back to what feels comfortable, and even though comfortable is not necessarily, you know, good or right or whatever the word it is I'm trying to find, but you because it's always a development process, it's always an ongoing thing. So I don't, you know, one thing, you don't get to a point and then stop and then that's it. It's always a work in progress. So
I like that thing, actually, is that so many people have that thing, they think life is done and dusted and sorted. Yeah, I life is work in progress. Now, this is the quest from the cradle to the grave, isn't it, really? It's like, and you know, we choose how to live that quest, and it's quite interesting that you say just be yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And realizing that you have, you know, you have choices, and the choices you make do create the life that you want. So so it's down to the
There's a lovely quote from Oscar Wilde, which was, be yourself because everybody else is already taken.
Yeah, there you go. Pretty another good Irish man.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, of course he was, wasn't he?
So actually, Gillian, John is great.
Yeah, probably is, actually. Yeah, Gillian, so thank you. Yeah, Gillian Davis, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a joy to talk to you. And
thank you.
All the best in your endeavours of being yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Paul.
And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Gillian Davis. If you would like to connect with Gillian, you can find her on Facebook and on LinkedIn. And as with all my guests, those links can be found on the podcast page at lifepassionandbusiness.com beneath the podcast player. I will be back on Sunday with the final question in the question series, The Meaning of Life. In the meantime, have a fantastic week and I will catch you later. All the best. Thanks for listening.